Tonight's scripture reading is Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded to you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen."
I was about 13 years old. I was still in middle school. In that time, I had just been baptized, and I had some good classmates and friends. School seemed great. I rarely had things to worry about in life. Homework, some chores to do at home, and maybe going to church. But one day, I met this kid. While I was waiting for my parents to pick me up, this kid, he always had a heavy look on his face, like he was being crushed by something. And that day, I asked one question, just one. That's all it took him to crumble. "So, how's your life going?" Seems like a simple question. I mean, for a normal 13-year-old, it doesn't seem to be hard to answer. More than, "Well, I had a good time with my friends. My parents took me to a restaurant yesterday. We went to a park last week." But from all the good things I could hear, all I heard was pain. The first thing he told me was that his parents just got divorced, and now his uncle was taking care of him. But his uncle didn't like him. It was because no one else wanted to take care of him, so he just took it. His uncle was alcoholic and homosexual too. He told me he knew that wasn't right. The only thing they gave him was a place to stay. Everything else depended on him. Before this, I knew this kid had some trouble in school. I saw him do drugs a good amount of times. He was always trying to hide his pain and just forget about everything. At school, he acted normal, like nothing happened at home. But of course, when the world offered him an exit, he took it right away. Can you imagine that? A 13-year-old kid doing drugs. It was heartbreaking. During our talk, he mentioned that he had not a single reason to keep breathing. It wasn't anything he liked, nor anything he wanted. "I have nothing to live for." Those were his words. Truly a broken soul. There he was, someone who needed hope desperately. And there I was, a soul that weeks ago had been baptized back then. You know, I grew up in the church, I knew the Bible, and I had the hope that he needed. The perfect opportunity to save a soul was in front of me. He was lost and broken. I had no hope for living. And from all the things that I could say, to at least give him a little bit of hope, I decided to cowardly escape. "Oh, that's terrible, man. Hope everything gets better. Well, I'll need to leave. See you later." How selfish of me. I had the truth and hope he needed, but I decided to keep it for myself. As people of God, we were given a commission. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, let's read it again, says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age.'" You know, we spend hours and hours studying about God's word, hoping for opportunities to preach the gospel to show. But the reality is that there is always an opportunity. Amen. But we love to close our eyes. We try to look for people that are convenient to talk to. We think that if we sit on the church pew, the souls are going to come and sit with us. Hey, it could happen sometimes. But are you planning to sit on your pew for the next 20 years, waiting for a soul to sit beside you to preach to them? Romans 10, verse 14 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Amen. As Christians, it's easy to get comfortable. First, you get baptized. You go through a process of learning. You want to serve. You start singing. You want to lead. Maybe give a Bible class or maybe preach your first sermon. We love our church family, and we care for them. But then after some time, we forget. What about those that aren't part of our family? There's people out there looking for a family. Why not share with them the huge blessing we have? We have a beautiful blessing. And you know, that's another important thing. Blessings. Sometimes we forget about big blessings because they seem too obvious for us. We think about the bread we have in our tables. We think about us being able to breathe. But knowing the truth is one of the biggest blessings we have. There is people out there looking for the truth without stop. And some of them die without finding it. But we have the truth. But in our selfishness, we don't share it. "Well, brother, it's because I'm afraid of someone hurting me." "Well, I don't know all the Bible yet." "It's because I haven't found someone with a good heart to receive the truth. I just don't have the time for it. I am 17. Or I am 70. Well, I don't like talking to strangers." This and that. That's enough. Is that what you're planning to tell God on the judgment day? "Well, God, I didn't have the time." Really? Are those excuses worth more than a soul? If you were lost, wouldn't you be begging to know the truth and to be safe? Your excuses then are worthless. Amen. I know we are not perfect. But there is definitely a lot of things we can do. I know there is challenges, and that is our second point. The challenge of sharing the hope. I know it's hard, don't get me wrong. I'm not pointing at you. We all have escaped cowardly from sharing the gospel. And reality is that the world is working against us every day, every hour. The evil out there is trying to win more ground, and that's not enough for Satan. He wants you. For him, you are the one trying to save others. Why go for those who aren't saved? You can go for those who have the truth that saves. He wants to destroy you, physically and spiritually. The devil doesn't joke around. The moment he finds your weakness, he's going to tear you to pieces. Amen. But it's not all lost. We are soldiers of God. God has given us a sword and an armor to defend ourselves from the enemy, to be able to reach those who have been caught by sin. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 to 13 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Keep in mind that even with the right equipment, we will still get hurt. But even so, even in the battlefield of the world, God is always there to protect us. Amen. When our strength is weary and we can't fight anymore, He will give us the strength we need. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" There will always be opposition. People that want to discourage you from sharing the word. People who threaten your life. People who will do all they can to not let you preach the gospel. But no matter what, keep preaching. No one will separate us from the love of God. Just as Romans 8:31-39 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Then, why do we run away? We have something we need to do. Sometimes it will be easy, sometimes it will be hard. But always remember, why are you doing it? And for who are you doing it for? This is not about how much people you can bring to God in a day. It's about how much are you willing to give to save a soul. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, "And whatever you do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." Now, before you share the word of God, there's something I need to tell you. We need to be conscious that the reality is that not all people will listen. I have family that I have tried to preach to, but they don't listen. There's people that think they have found the truth, but sometimes it's only half of it or something far away from it. But I want you to make sure you are not the reason they don't have the truth. Amen. Make sure you do all the things on your hands to let them hear the gospel. And if you preach the word and they rejected you, then you have nothing to worry about. Matthew chapter 10, verse 14 says, "And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." I'm telling you this because this is part of the challenge of sharing the gospel. Not all will hear. That's something you need to keep in mind. But this doesn't mean we don't have to preach. Do your part. Plant the seed and then let God do the impossible. Even the hardest heart could be changed. We are nothing more than servants. We carry the message and plant it and we try to water it. But God is the one who will give the growth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." The certainty that we have is that at the end, we will stand before God on Judgment Day. And imagine the weight of hearing these words. You never spoke to them. But your fear held you back from sharing the truth. One word could have led them to salvation. But you chose silence over saving a soul. Let your love be greater than your fear. So no matter the cost, your love for the lost will always prevail. A soldier can abandon his duty. So what are you doing for God? There's many ways we can share the gospel. All of us have different talents and opportunities. God put those in our lives for a reason. Don't let the enemy distract you from your goal. Give people a reason to live. In this world without hope, the hope is in our hands. We might not reach everyone at once, but by touching one life at a time, we create ripples that can change the world. Right. Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 14 says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." You know, it's time of the year. It's time to be thankful. Be thankful that we were given a commission that is challenging for us. Be thankful to God for trusting us to share the gospel. And be thankful that we know what comes after fighting the good fight. You know, some people say preaching from the pulpit is not prayer, bro. But you don't need to be in the pulpit to share the gospel. Amen. Don't let the word of God stay in this building. Take it with you. Cherish it. Live by it. And remember, don't keep it to yourself. Amen. We all know someone who needs God. We see them every day. But we ignore the fact that they are lost. We close our eyes on the obvious. We know that they need Christ. And today I want to encourage you to stop looking away. Don't leave them alone. The hope is in our hands. So what are you going to do with it? God trusted us the gospel. He knows that even with all of our weaknesses, there will always be someone willing to preach. Let that person be you. Here's my challenge for all of us. There is no excuse for us to not preach the gospel. We have the hope. So then, just like Matthew 28, verse 18, 19 says again, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age." Amen. And for our friends, if you haven't obeyed, I need to tell you something. As humans, we think there is always more time. But what if there is not? What if today you go to sleep and you don't wake up? What if today, while you're driving home, you're involved in an accident? What if when you walk out of church, your heart stops beating? What if? Don't let your future be a what if, but a thank God I did. We love and care for you. And most important, God loves and cares for you. So why postpone your salvation? Why risk it all? Why walk away with an uncertain future? Would you can secure your eternal life today for baptism? The invitation is open. It's up to you. God bless you.